Hey Hoopers, welcome to episode 9 of the podcast, Hula Hoopla Podcast for Hoopers. In this episode, I am interviewing the lovely, amazing Beth Lavender. We ran into each other. It was such a freak coincidence. We ran into each other in March of this year, 2013, at the last indoor hoop jam of the Bay Area Hoopers over in San Francisco. I don't live in San Francisco, and neither does Beth. She just happened to be on her way to teach for Jaguar Mary's Sacred Circularities in Bali. So what a lovely, just like our eyes met across the room and we squealed with joy and hugged. And I asked her to sit down with me and so that I could interview with her for the podcast. And it was kind of funny because she's not really comfortable with doing that. And of course, I had a little operator error on my part with this recording device, just like I did with Valentina in the last episode. Anyway, we did this amazing interview, found out that I hadn't recorded it, and she agreed, bless her heart, to do it again. So maybe I warmed her up a little bit and got her comfortable, but she really opened up and shared a lot about herself and her experience with her hoop journey. And I felt really lucky to hear that story. And so my Beth Lavender story is, it started back in 2009 when I did my first hoop thing, I guess. I guess that would be my hooperversary is April of 2009. My hoop mama convinced me to go to the Northwest Hoop Gathering in Bend, Oregon. I'd never heard about it. I talked about this on the podcast before, but I didn't know really anything about it. And I just kind of started making hula hoops and had tried it out at Burning Man in 2008. Didn't really know what I was getting into. And I walked into this giant gymnasium in a high school in Bend, Oregon with Philo, actually. And I saw all these hula hoopers that were doing things that I had never seen before. In fact, I didn't know there were that many hoopers in the world at the time. And Mary was pointing at all these amazing people, and I didn't know who they were. And I remember seeing to my left this woman that was doing these crazy, like, shooting these hoops from one, like, lower, like her right arm was way down below, and then she was just shooting this hoop up way to a waiting left hand, and her hair was just flying and she was twirling, and I'm like, oh my God, who is that? Turns out that was Beth Lavender, and I kind of, I wouldn't say stalked her, but definitely had a little girly hoop crush on her for many years after that. But got to sit down with her in 2010 at hoop camp and really got to know her, you know, and when Jaguar Mary got to like spend a little time talking to her as well. So, you know, it's just amazing. We get a little starstruck. But when we sit down and talk to the hoopers, I mean, we've all been through that beginning process of discovering the hoop and finding out that it means so much to us and the journeys that it takes us. I mean, I know my life has changed because of that. And it definitely sounds from this interview that the hoop definitely changed Beth's life. So I think you'll really enjoy this. And I know I love Beth Lavender. Who doesn't love Beth Lavender? So here is my interview with Beth Lavender. Thank you. San Francisco on a beautiful day at a beautiful event, the last indoor hoop jam for the Bay Area Hoopers.
Yep.
So, oh man, I'm so excited to see you. It was just like,
it was a total
my
shock.
Heart just
yeah,
left.
Mine did too.
Yeah. Oh, so happy to see you. So I guess we'll go backwards now. Got it to the point where why you're here,
right?
And we can talk about that again.
Absolutely. I am really lucky. Jaguar Mary is doing sacred circularities, I think, for the third year in a row. in Bali, and she does 3 weeks, and I get to teach. I'm one of the instructors for the first week, so I'm really honored and excited to be going to Indonesia. I lived in Japan for 5 years, and I traveled over much of Southeast Asia. Indonesia is a country I never got to, and I always wanted to, so this is just all falling together beautifully.
So it's a three-week event.
Yeah.
And do people stay for the whole thing, or are they?
Some people do. Some people go for 1 or 2 weeks, mm-hmm. maybe, or maybe the first week and the last week, and take some time for themselves
to travel
in the middle. My daughter's in school, and so it happened that the first week fell on her spring break, and I didn't even know that. I had said yes to Jaguar Mary even before I knew that my daughter could come or not.
Perfect timing.
Feeling that I would just take her out of school, no matter what.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go for the first week and then head back to regular life.
So now, again, working backwards,
sure.
You're teaching now.
Yeah.
How long have you been teaching?
I guess it started about 5 or 6 years ago. I started with Baxter. When Baxter started his first classes, I would go to them. The first class I went to thinking, well, he's my friend. I'll go and be supportive of his new endeavor, because I know how to hoop. And he really started speaking to much of what I was experiencing within the hoop, but I hadn't found the words to express yet. And so he was talking about the meaning behind the movement, the imagery, and some of the changes that can happen, not just externally, but inside. And it just fit. And so I started going to his classes. Eventually, he started taking hoop path on the road, and I started substituting for him when he was on the road. So I kind of fell into this teaching gig. And I will say that teaching for Baxter is one of the hardest things in the world to do because he is really good. And being his student, I know how much I get out of his classes.
Yeah.
So trying to step into that role. No, that, I can't be him. How do I find my own voice?
What was the first time? What, did he ask you or was it one of those?
No, I'm sure he asked me, and I'm sure I cannot remember the first time. I honestly cannot. It's somewhere very
just wondering how you felt. Like, here's this, your instructor and friend. And
well, just so you know who I am, I've never been one to get on stage or take the mic. I love singing harmony, but I don't want to be the main singer. I like being in the background. I don't like having my photo taken. So the idea of standing in front of a class of people and guiding them terrified me. And at times it still does. Honestly,
yeah.
It's quite challenging. But I'm learning to enjoy the things that terrify me and that scare me and sort of embrace them.
Because you don't die.
You don't. Although you think, I thought I was going to die. And I'm sure I was hyperventilating and kind of creating the symptoms of death. But apparently, people don't always see what's inside, which is just such a blessing. And I've learned that there's something useful about trying on what we're not comfortable with or what we're not used to. Playing dress up in a way, what would it feel like if I was more confident? How would I walk in the room? How would I present these ideas? And then when I put it like that, it makes it more available and more accessible mm-hmm. to me. If I think I've got to be confident, I've got to be organized, I can't make myself do something that I'm not or be something that I'm not, but I can play with the idea, the possibility of it. And then I actually find myself approaching that thing that I'm
right.
trying to emulate.
Right.
It's crazy.
So then, so you taught a few of the hoop
yeah.
path classes and got confident. So when you teach your own classes, are you still teaching hoop path? Or have you branched off and you do have your own style
yeah.
now?
Well, it's definitely, I don't know if it would be under the hoop path umbrella necessarily. It's hoop path inspired, hoop mm-hmm. path based. But of course, I've got my own little branch, as I think Baxter would want me to, say.
Yeah.
We're different people.
Yeah.
And he's definitely opened up things within me that have grown, continue to grow on their own within me.
That's great. So we'll go back to telling me about your first experience with the hoop.
Yes. So I had lived in Japan for 5 years where I tried very hard to be a good Japanese wife and not stand out with my blonde hair in Japan. which was not very, I wasn't very effective at that, but it was, you know, my goal was to fit in. And so I came back to the United States with my Japanese husband, I had a little girl, and Weaver Street Market is in downtown Harborough, and it happens to be sort of the de facto town center. There's a lawn there, a big oak tree, a health food store, and live music twice a week during the warmer months. And so I would go there and hang out with my kid and, you know, watch people hang out with their kids and listen to music. And one day, there was this woman under the oak tree, absolutely stunning. I had seen her around. I knew her name was Vivian, and she had a 5-foot diameter irrigation tubing hoop and was tubing one current on her waist. And I was entranced. I couldn't take my eyes off of her. And so I kept watching her, and then I was like, oh God, I'm getting weird. I don't want to make her feel funny, and so I'd do this, but then I'd still watch her. And finally, I think she kind of took pity on me, came over, offered me a hoop. And the first time I tried it, it felt so good, like I was at home. And so it didn't occur to me that I could actually hoop at home. I thought, well, I have to go back to Weaver Street to hoop. And so every Thursday or Sunday, I would go praying that either Julia, Hartzell Cruz, Baxter, or Vivian would be there so that if they were there, then I could hoop, but if they weren't, then I couldn't. And so it kind of grew, my practice grew there. So for about 2 or 3 years, I hooped on the lawn with those guys, and then Baxter started his classes.
Cool. I love the stories when people first pick up a hoop and who was that, you know, their hoop mama or their hoop daddy or whatever.
Without a doubt, it was Spiral. I think she gave me the hoop and to go home with. I mean, she was very generous.
That's so fantastic. Again, I come back to this a lot with even my students about what an amazing community we have.
Yeah.
How supporting and loving it is. And I tell them their very first class is that you will find in just in this group, you know, in the next 3 weeks, the bond that you create as you learn and grow and make mistakes and laugh and throw the hoop and hit yourself in the head. And
and
we all go through that and we all can relate. And it's just that leveling. We're all equals. No matter the skill level, we're all equals.
For all of us, it's an exploration, and it's an exploration of our own potential. And a good hoop class is one where you're given permission to make as many mistakes as you need to make, and to just be curious, to stay interested in what's possible within the hoop.
I love that. That's a great note to end on, to see what's possible. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We got to do it twice. Yay. Wonderful. Okay.
Oh my God, don't you just love her? Oh, I told you you would. Thank you, Beth, for giving me 2 interviews. And someday I hope to make it to the Sacred Circularities out in Bali. Bali's been calling to me. I've been seeing these beautiful pictures from Jaguar Mary's pictures and the people that go there and post. And Christabel Zamora has been posting pictures from there. And it just looks like a place I would really like. So thank you again for listening to the podcast. And Joel, thank you for loaning me this recording device that I keep messing up. I will conquer it and be a better interviewer and a better recorder and all that jazz. Thank you for following me on this podcast. This is episode 9. Next up is my interview with Antonio Gomez of the Bay Area Hoopers. 10th anniversary, people. So congratulations to them. And just tune in. Hopefully I'll have this out before the end of the year. If not, no worries. You will hear it. And thank you for listening. And have a great new year. Bye-bye.